Accession number 17364, Reel 2.
Mr. Viner, Reel 2.
Yes, I naively showed him my Austrian passport, to which he remarked that he cannot himself give the authority to enroll me in the Czech army. He has to refer back to some superiors, because Austria, an Austrian subject, could not possibly serve in the Czech armed forces. And he quite wisely commented that what happens if you fall into captivity during the war and you become a prisoner of war? What position would you be find yourself in? So I have to refer back, but I decided at that instance that if I am prepared to fight against Hitler and that they are putting obstacles in my way, then I'm not prepared to volunteer. And I said, in this case I feel I'm not wanted, and I said I'm not joining the Czech army. And I spent a few months in Palestine with families from my hometown who immigrated there and who took me in. And but eventually, being 20 years old, having no profession to start with, and seeing a war, I decided to go to the British Army recruiting office, and they accepted me gladly.
Was this in Haifa?
Sarafen, the same camp where I was imprisoned.
Did you have some basic training in Palestine?
Very much so.
Which unit did you join?
I was actually only offered to enlist in the Auxiliary Military Pioneer Corps, which is well known in England, the Pioneer Corps, where Jewish aliens were enlisted. But I have been told in Palestine, don't join the Pioneer Corps. So when they offered me only a place in the Pioneer Corps, I said, I regret, I'm not prepared to join. So they called me back a few weeks later, would I be prepared to join the Royal Army Service Corps as a driver, to which I gladly agreed. And I became the 916th Royal Army Service Corps driver.
The what number?
916th.
And from Palestine, eventually, you went to Greece in 1941, I think.
Over Tobruk.
Being at Tobruk, first of all.
Yeah, we spent a few months in Tobruk.
Were you in the siege of Tobruk?
No. We arrived at Tobruk at a time when the British army was successful against the occupying Italians. But the German army were not yet involved in the North African campaign at that juncture. It was 1941.
It must have been very early in 1941, because the Germans came into North Africa in February 41. So it must have been about January 41, I think.
39. I have to recollect. I arrived in Haifa in February 1940. I joined the same. I left about December 40 for Egypt, and Tobruk, it must have been 1941, because after 3 months in Tobruk, for which I got the Africa Star as my medals, so I must have been there quite some time, we joined the British Expeditionary Force in Greece, where I was eventually captured when General Wilson had to plead for cessation of fighting in Greece in 1941.
Can you describe how you were captured, please?
Yes, is a slightly comic episode. We marched for many weeks in April, probably April, from a plateau in the middle of Greece to the further southest port of Kalamata, where we found hundreds and hundreds of previous military vehicles and all war paraphernalia of people who were taken off the beaches and brought either to Crete or to Alexandria by boat, by the British Navy. But at the end of the day, our commanding officer of my company, who was a Scot, assembled all men and officers, non-commissioned officers, and said goodbye. He said he has instructions from his brigadier that no more resistance, we have to surrender to the Germans. So I found myself sitting in a olive grove on a stone, exhausted after walks of marching, when I heard a commotion, probably half asleep, I heard the commotion of other chaps sitting around, and something like, I woke up, they're here, and I was confronted by a German soldier, steel helmet, on a motorcycle which had a mounted machine pistol between the handlebar. So efficient were the Germans in their preparation for the war that this was the only mode of transport in these Greek mountains and villages to arrive at Kalamata on probably a brigade of motorcycles. And he asked me in German to put my hands up, which I was already permitted by my brigadier to say to surrender. So I probably did. He then asked me to hand over my rifle, which I did, and then he wanted me to hand over my hand grenades, which I didn't possess. So I had to explain to him that I cannot surrender any which I don't have.
Did you speak to him in German?
Eventually he led me to a group where we eventually were headed into a Greek village compound, and after 10 minutes I realized that the entire conversation which this German soldier with the swastika on the one side of the city limit was in German. Neither I realized nor did he realize that we speak both in German, and I was only afraid later on that he will come and look to me and say, what are you doing here? You are speaking. But of course I never saw him again.
So it was a dangerous moment for you. So you were captured at Kalamata?
Yeah.
In April 1941. Who was your brigadier?
The name of the brigadier who was in charge of the entire surrender, I can't remember. But I know that from my company, where the majority were of middle Central European backgrounds, two or three sergeants were requested by the brigadier as parliamentarians to go with a white flag in the neighborhood of Kalamata, and they spoke in German and English, don't shoot, nicht schießen, parliamentarians. For that particular reason, ex-Berlins or Viennese sergeants were used to speak in German for this procedure.
Did the Germans soon realize that you were a Jew from Czechoslovakia?
It's hard to say. We were eventually put up into a huge prisoner of war camp, which was very primitive. In Corinth, of the peninsula of Corinth, there were many thousands of British army personnel, and we were guarded by frontline German troops . And eventually, these were replaced after a few weeks by the German divisions of parachutists who were eventually employed by the first parachute invasion of Crete, the first in military history an island was captured by parachute. And these parachutists, elite troops, were very young and were extremely friendly to us. They treated us as brothers in arms, and you could see that they probably had in the back of their mind the thought that these chaps have their fighting behind them, but what lays in front of us. And if I can bring into this juncture a personal story which shows a bit of humanity in the face of a war. One of my friends in my company of the of my company was 20 years older than me, so he would have been over 40. He was a born Viennese, sports I'm missing the right words just now, a trainer, he was a professional of the Maccabi Sport Club and he was very strongly built, and he was obviously was usually eating larger quantities, being strongly built, and he suffered terribly of the hunger in this primitive, just barbed wire roads around camp, where there was nothing to eat. Even the German army had nothing to eat, because the line of communication to the southern part of Corinth from Germany was that they were actually also starving. Now this friend of mine who was suffering of the hunger sold, we were selling to the Greek and to the German soldiers whatever we could get rid of in exchange for food. And this friend, who had a mother from his mother a diamond ring, which he eventually sold to a German soldier for bread, but he demanded 3 loaves of bread, and the German soldier said, the parachutist said, I've only got 2, but Palmer said, no, for 2 I'm not giving the diamond ring. It had a sentimental value, it was his dead mother's ring, he didn't give it for 2, and he said, okay, I'll bring you the 3rd loaf of bread tomorrow when I get my next ration of bread. So he could not contain himself to wait another day for the 3 loaves. He gave him the ring and said, okay, you bring me the 3rd loaf the next day. And then after he left, he started to eat his bread, and he said, I'll never see him again, and I gave my mother's ring for 2 loaves of bread instead of 3. And he said, I am an idiot, and why did I do that? And the next day, the German young parachutist came with a loaf of bread and said, I've been looking for you everywhere, I couldn't sleep. He said, I owe you a loaf of bread. I could not, if I survived the war, and I had for my mother a good Christian upbringing, and if I tell her that I sold, I bought this ring for 3 loaves of bread, of which I never surrendered the 3rd loaf, I could not sleep the night. And this shows in a way that in spite of the indoctrination of Nazi youth, of which this parachutist must have had a few years, that he was still prepared to go out of his way to bring this Jew the 3rd loaf of bread voluntarily, to seek him out and to bring him this promised loaf of bread.
But did he know he was a Jew?
He said, spoke in German.
So what happened to you after Corinth?
The German army is believed to have made a complete register of all personnel caught in Greece, and there were approximately 33,000 British prisoners of war caught in this camp. My figures are not researched, so they can be wrong. And under these 33,000 were an approximate number of 1,400 Jewish prisoners of war from Jewish companies, and the names and numbers were handed over by the German army to the Swiss Red Cross. And that is a reason, believed to be a reason, that Winston Churchill mentioned in Parliament during those years for consumption of by international way that the German army was informed, and Churchill informed over Norwegian diplomats of the existence of a group of approximately 1,400 Jewish prisoners of war in Greece, and the German army command were strictly adhering to the Geneva Convention to treat those Jewish men as British prisoners of war. In fact, I have myself seen in later years a document sent to a German soldier in guard of a working party where the high command of the German army informed him that the prisoners in his charge, being recruited from Palestinian companies, must not be addressed with the name of Jew or Jude. They are to be addressed as prisoners of war, Palestinians. So the German army in that respect behaved, to my experience, quite correct. There were of course cases of where 50 British prisoner of war officers were shot in cold blood, but to my experience, during my 4 years of imprisonment, I was treated quite correct.
When did food eventually start to arrive? At Corinth or after you left Corinth?
Never. We were starving.
But did food start to improve?
They found stocks of Italian war material, because there was a war before the World War II. There was a fight between Italian Mussolini troops in Greece. There was some months before 1939 or 1936-ish was a minor skirmishes, and the Italian lost against the Greek in Albania and left behind vast stocks of Italian war material, and there was a bread which was of white flour, baked hard, and if it was dried, if it kept stored dry, it could last for a year or two. This Italian army food was eventually issued to us occasionally.
How long did you stay in Corinth for?
It must have been a few months.
Were you then taken to Germany?
We marched and eventually boarded trains and arrived in Austria.
Where were you encamped there?
We were encamped in a prisoner of war camp in a town called Wolfsburg.
Was this called Stalag something?
I can't recollect if it was called Stalag. It was a previous French.
Now, I know that in your POW experience, that you said that you had some contact or clashes or friction with the Gestapo. How did this come about?
It came about that I was working for 3 years, in fact 4 winters, on a farm in Upper Silesia, where we, besides the farm, we also were given facilities by a very Anglophile German boss to store at cross parcels in a dry and safe barn, because German, British and American carpet bombing destroyed vast areas, and they prisoner of war at Cross Society were afraid that their stores go up in flames and our cross parcels will perish with, so they started to decentralize Red Cross supply, food supplies, because those were essential for our health. We could not exist on German rations alone. So this Anglophile master of our farm allowed us to store food parcels, and other working parties in the vicinity were allowed to come and draw their rations by cart or by motor transport or whatever. And with these groups who came to collect Red Cross parcels from our farm came German soldiers. And one German soldier must have heard about my old Sudeten German background and approached me and said, "My God, we practically went to the same school, etc., etc., and became rather over friendly." And I distrusted him slightly. And I could see eventually that he was out after, would I be prepared to part some of my Red Cross supplies with him for doing me favors.
And did you remember him from school?
No, but there was a link, there was no doubt about it. And at the time, I left my parents in Prague